Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Take our Bibles this morning. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, we've been studying through this one verse for several weeks now, and it brings up a good point that some new words that we've learned, we discussed and talked about, exegesis, E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S, and that is taking a scripture and going through it word by word and pulling everything out of it that you have. In other words, everything that it can mean, everything that it can possibly mean. And so that's what we've been doing on 2 Corinthians 5:17, performing exegesis on that. And we've talked about some other terms and words. One of them we discussed is systematic theology. Remember the meaning of systematic theology? That is not building a doctrine or a doctrinal system on one or two verses in the Bible, but taking what the whole Bible says about a given subject and then building your doctrine on what the whole Bible says. If you build your doctrine on one or two verses, you're going to get in trouble. Take what the whole book says, what God's whole Bible says, and then you'll have it right. Another thing we talked about last week, we introduced a new term, Bible type. What is a type? Well, a type in the Bible is an example of something that is literal. In other words, we talked about, last week we talked some about Noah's Ark being a type of Christ Jesus because we are in Christ. And so we're in the Ark. Or, so the Ark is a biblical type of Jesus. And so we, as the people had gone into the ark and they had food, they had shelter, they had safety, they had everything they needed, and that's what exactly what Jesus does for us. When we are in Christ, He provides for us. He says He'll give you life and give it to you more abundantly, give you peace and joy and all the things that that you need. So those are some of the terms that we've talked about this last few days. We're going to talk some more about another term today that goes on with our exegesis of 2 Corinthians 5:17. The word we're going to look at today is metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. That means to change. To change. Great example of that would be a cocoon and a butterfly. In the summertime, in the spring of the year, you got those creepy things that crawl around on your windows, and sometimes they get in your house, and they're the kind of little fuzzy things that you don't want to touch. They sometimes are referred to as being ugly, and we think they'll sting you. Some of them will. They're not a pleasant creature to have in your hand. But what happens in the metamorphosis stage is the caterpillar builds a cocoon, goes in there, and basically stays and changes, and over a period of a few months, when the cocoon is opened up again, guess what comes out? A butterfly. Beautiful, beautiful butterfly that everybody is pleased with and everybody loves. Didn't think much of the caterpillar. But everybody loves butterflies. Children love catching butterflies. People chase butterflies. They photograph butterflies. Plant specific plants in the yard to draw butterflies. And so that's that word metamorphosis. And that has something to do with what we're going to be talking about today. And that is the change into a new creature. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5:17 together again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, we talked about that a few sessions ago, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. So that's where we're going to use our new word, metamorphosis, today, and look at this thing that we call a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A new creature in Christ indicates a radical change. When a person gets saved, and by the way, the way a person gets saved is by believing and having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God knew that when we were yet sinners, Christ would die for us. When we were in that sinful state, that misery, and that state of not looking so good like the caterpillar, that through what Jesus, God's Son, did at Calvary, which is to be nailed to a cross, and His blood was shed so that it could be a sacrifice, pure, holy, and clean for us, and it's a free gift. If we trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. We talked about the difference between being saved and being lost. Being lost is misery. Being lost is chaos in your life, and in the end, it's rejection from God and cast into a lake of fire or in hell. Being saved or becoming a new creature is accepting that wonderful gift that God has given us and asking Him into our heart, inviting Him into our heart. And as we are saved, then we become a new creature. We become different. We become filled with joy. And most importantly, peace and the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us that when we become Christians, or when we believe in Christ Jesus, and that's what the term Christian is one who is like Christ, or lives his life Christ-like, who believes in Christ Jesus, and invites Christ Jesus into his heart. Then they become pure, and they become whole, and we can go to another term that we could use, is to be regenerated, or to be made over, to become a new creature, a person that belongs to God. And He's given us this gift, and that gift is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's free, absolutely free, and it's something that all we have to do is take out and take it. It's kind of like we've talked about before. It's kind of like being at the judgment bench in front of the judge, and whenever the judge says, ask the attorney, what is your client's plea? And the lawyer says, well, he's guilty, but I want to take his punishment on me, and I'll do his time. And that's exactly what happens when Christ Jesus is your attorney, in fact, and who takes your sin upon Himself, and He regenerates you, makes you a new creature, and gives you His righteousness. And that's what the Bible tells us, that we become righteous through Him and through what He's done at Calvary. And then we are no longer lost, but we can be placed over in the saved category. And that category is the place where Christians meet, and why Christians meet, and the reason we meet together is to praise and worship God, and to also to be equipped and equipping the saints to be able to go out and carry out the Great Commission to tell other people about Christ Jesus and what has happened in our lives. It's kind of like the term of evangelism that was explained to me one time. Evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where he got his bread changed. Now, I have seen an example of this in just since I've been in this church. I've seen an example. I got about 20 examples sitting right out here in front of me right now. I remember some of you, when I first met you, and not to draw you back to the past or where you was, but some of you was kind of like the caterpillar. Just a little fuzzy. People didn't know whether to touch you or not. Might get stung. Had a bad attitude. Had a problem. It might have been an addiction problem. Might have been some other, might have just been a behavior problem. But the fact is, I have watched some of you after you have bought into this thing of Christian life and believe it. And with the faith that God has given you, you have been changed and you've become a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're a whole lot different than you used to be. You're very pleasant now to be around. I've seen that with a lot of people in a lot of different places. Once you become that new person or that new creature in Christ Jesus, you become Christ-like. You become gentle, humble, peaceful, helpful. Just a whole new attitude, a whole new behavioral change. And I've actually been able to, and it's been a blessing to me to see some of these changes occurring in some of you sitting in this room today and in other people in other places and other parts of the country that I know. They change radically. They change how they behave and how they react to things. There's a spiritual change, but also an outward change in the physical sense. In other words, the change comes from within, but it manifests itself not only from within, but outwardly. When you got changed, or you went through this metamorphosis, or when God saved you, or when you were changed and made a new creature, it happened from within. It happened from inside you. Now the Greeks, the Hebrew people, felt like that this, the center of the being of the physical body was the heart. You'll read some of the Greek writings over in the Old Testament. You'll see they keep talking about the heart. The heart has to change, or the heart was touched. Now, when the Greeks came along, they came up with another idea. It was because of the brain center in the mind. They knew that's where the sensitivity or the cognitive man was in the brain. So they called it the mind. And so that's why you see in the New Testament, Paul speaks a great deal about the mind and the changing of the mind or the renewing of the mind. But it's a process when you get saved or when you get changed or when you become a new creature. It's a process that comes from the inside and goes outward. The Holy Spirit moves in. The Holy Spirit resides in you. Did you know that you have a powerful force in you right now if you're a Christian? Bible says very plainly that God resides in you. People say, oh no, God's in heaven. Oh God resides everywhere. He's omnipresent. His Holy Spirit reaches out everywhere. His Holy Spirit is in our bodies, in our hearts, and in our minds. He is that person who helps us to grow. He is that person within us that gives us correction, gives us wisdom, and as Brother Leroy talked about this morning, we talk about the mind of Christ and thinking and like Christ and being able to recognize a vision or a dream for what it is, or God speaking to us. It comes from within. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Dreams and visions, and the Bible's full of these examples of them. They come from within. They come from God. They come from welling up. Now, a couple of things that I know, I'm not an expert on dreams and visions, but I will tell you a few things that I do know. In order for you to have productive, now God may give you a vision or a dream, but for you to have productive visions and dreams that you are seeking questions about and seeking answers about, you must be living right and seeking after God diligently with your whole heart. Now, you can't be chasing around in the world and doing all the things that's out there in the world and expect the Holy Spirit to speak to you or to give you direction in your life except to draw you out of that mess. That's what He will do for you. But when we have a vision or a dream, or when we ask in God to give us some wisdom or something, a special revelation, when we get a special revelation, it's because we're seeking after God with our whole heart. The Bible says over in Hebrews 11:6 that those who diligently seek Him, He will reward them. He will reward that individual. So it's a renewing or a regeneration that comes from the inside. Let's turn over to John 1 now, and let's take a look at that. Praise the Lord. She said amen. Some of the rest of you need to get into. Tell them, baby doll. Talk to them. Go to John 1:12. Let's look at how this process begins. How it happens. Bible says here in verse 12, but as many as received Him, that means received Christ Jesus. That doesn't necessarily mean that you chose Him, by the way, but that you have received Him because of what God has done. He has given you your salvation by grace through faith. And it's a gift that He gives you. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Now to change from a lost sinner to a son of God or a child of God, that takes an awful lot of power. I don't think there's any machine in all the high technology that we have in the world cannot change a person's life and make them a new creature. So there's no power on earth that can do that. It's only the power that comes from God, even to them that believe on His name. And verse 13 says, which were born, in other words, reborn or became a new creature or become saved, which were born not of blood. Now that means not of your kindred or what your race is or what your ethnic background is. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. It's not something that the flesh can desire. It's not something that I can make up and say, well, I'm going to get saved tomorrow. It's not something that you can desire. Desires of the flesh are, you decide that you want a Whataburger, so you go to Whataburger, and you give the man your money, and he gives you a Whataburger. That's how that works. That's from the flesh. You get something from the flesh. It's something that happens in the flesh. But in the becoming reborn or becoming regenerated or becoming a new creature, it's not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will or desire of man, but of God. How do we get saved then? I think calling upon the name of the Lord and praying about it and talking to Him and begging Him and asking Him to regenerate you and make you a new creature and to save you is a good way to start off. It's a good way to get God's attention. But Ephesians 2:8 tells us that the way we get saved is because of God's grace and through our faith in something that we can't see, and we can't see Jesus, but we do have faith that He's there and it is a part of us and we have faith in Him. But the Bible goes on to say there in Ephesians 2:8, that it's not of your own. The faith is not of your own. It's a gift of God. It's giving you something. I like the way Jesus put it when He talked to His disciples. You have not chosen Me. I have chosen you. And so it's this salvation thing that we talk about and becoming a new creature is completely of God. Many Christians have the idea that they're not good enough, or many people think that they're not good enough to become a Christian. That's why the Bible tells us that Christ died for us the way that we are right now. Christ died for us. He died while we were in our sin, while we were degenerate, in sinfulness and lost, depraved and not able to help ourselves. That's why Jesus died for you in the state that you are in right now. A lot of people's got it in their mind, I got to be qualified. Well, you got to qualify to do a lot of stuff and to join a lot of things. You got to be qualified to get a voter's registration card. You got to be qualified to get a driver's license. A lot of things you got to be qualified for before you can become part of that entity. But becoming a Christian, you don't have to qualify. You own faith, and you don't have to get better in order to become a Christian, because Christ died for us right in the state that we're in. Now, a lot of people says, well, I ain't good enough yet. I've had a lot of people tell me that, and the concept that they think, I'm not good enough. Had a man told me one time my church has asked me to become a deacon, but I had to turn him down because I don't think I'm good enough. I had to tell him, if you wait till you're good enough, you never will become a deacon. If you wait till you're good enough and righteous enough on your own, you'll never become a preacher. You'll never become a Sunday school teacher. You'll never become nothing if you wait until you are good enough. Fact is, you aren't good enough except for what Christ Jesus did at Calvary, which made you good enough. Amen. Because he took your sin upon himself and gave you his righteousness. Amen? And so, if you wait until you qualify, you're not gonna make it. I've been watching a lot of golf. Robbie and I have been watching the Pebble Beach golf tournament out in California. Well, Thursday and Friday, if you know how golf works, all the players in the PGA that join that tournament, they have to qualify. In other words, they have to play and make a certain score set by the standard of that particular game to qualify to play in Saturday and Sunday's events. So today is the last day of that tournament. And so they had to qualify to play in this tournament. If you don't qualify, you don't get to play. Well, I'm so glad that that's not the way God does it. You get to play even if you are unqualified. Amen? You get to be on the team. You get to be saved. You get to be a part of God and be called out and become one of the sons of God in the state that you are in. So that brings us to another question now. When we become a Christian, are regenerated and we become a new creature, then why do we still act like we do sometimes? Well, it's because we still live in the flesh. And it's because we still remember that old nature. People get disillusioned when they become Christians and they join the church and they get baptized, because when they go back out in the world, they begin to sin again. Now, they probably won't be sinning as much as they used to. And they probably won't be doing and acting like they used to act. It's an old term a preacher said one time, you won't be sinless, but you will sin less. You should sin less. You should strive against it. Apostle Paul asked that question. Why is it that the things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do, and the things that I want to do, those sometimes are the things that I don't do? It's a war going on inside your soul, inside your body. It's in there where the Holy Spirit resides. Your flesh wants to go one way, and God wants to carry you another way. Your spirit wants to go another way. It's kind of like having a little demon on one side and angel on the other side. You can do this. No, you can't. Go ahead and do it. Everybody does it. You shouldn't do that. And speaking to you and telling you, it's just good old common sense. Christians should sin less. Christians should put up resistance to when sin comes about. When sin comes upon them, they should put up resistance. It's kind of like the old Lay's potato chip ad. You can't eat one. You just can't just one. You know, that's the way sin is. It'll just keep burying you. More you do, the more that you say, I'll just do one, the more it buries you. Someone trying to lose weight, which I've been trying to do lately. And I have, by the way, this pair of pants that I'm wearing today are very comfortable on me. 10 days ago, I couldn't put them on. But I've been watching what I eat, and I've been exercising. I go to Walmart, and I walk around Walmart about 2 or 3 times. And that's a long walk. 2 or 3 times will equal you almost a mile. That's what I do. I see y'all giggling, but that's what I do. That's how I do. Hey, it's air conditioned. It's clean. I'm not going to step on a rattlesnake. I'm not going to get mugged. And if I fall out on the floor, somebody's going to be right there to help me. So it's like a gym, but it's free. By the way, I did talk to one of the ladies at the Walmart store up here the other day, and I told her what I was doing. I said, I walk here a lot, and then I do my shopping. And she said, that's quite all right. She said, there's a lot of people do that. So it's just what I do. But anyway, the fact of the matter is while I was trying to lose weight, if I kept saying every day, oh, it's not going to hurt me to eat that piece of pie. You know, and that's the way it comes at you. You know, you always got that. It's not going to hurt me to do this just one time. Well, probably won't, but if you, then the next day you got a piece of cake in front of you, it's not going to hurt you. Go ahead and eat that one piece of cake. Ain't going to hurt you. And then the next day it's a fudge bar, bowl of ice cream the next day, and just keep on and on and on. It's like sin. It'll bury you. It'll bury you. You're not going to change. Until you get out of these old behavior habits and out of these old sin habits, all these things that you used to do. By the way, if you're a person in this room and you're fighting any kind of an addiction, the very best thing that you can do is let Jesus have control of that and let Him, through His power, change you. The second best thing you can do is get out away from that old crowd of people that's doing the same thing that you're doing, that your addiction is, that you try. If you keep going back to the same old bunch or the same old friends, I can promise you it's going to be difficult for you to change. And so becoming a new creature is a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. But it's up to the individual to continue this work of sanctification through the help, assistance, and power of Almighty God, which means to change. Paul said it best, I think, when he told young Timothy, exercise yourself into godliness. Exercise. In other words, work at it. Think good thoughts. Think clean thoughts. Where your mind goes, that's where your body's going to go. Dennis Young says it like this. You need to do a mind flush and flush your mind and get a new mind and get rid of all that old behavior and all of those old habits. And then you can grow in Christ, and then you can continue to develop in Christ and become an instrument that God can use. God can receive glory from. But it's a work thing. It's a thing that you do. Now, your salvation is not about work. You don't have anything to do with it. It's not about work. But your sanctification and your changing and your behavior habits and becoming a mature Christian is definitely a work thing. It's an exercising thing that you do. So as we look at our chapter today, and our verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we become a new creature, a new person. metamorphosis, to go in like a caterpillar and to come out like a butterfly. Amen. That's what the change is. That's what the new creature is that the Apostle Paul is talking about here. So we've talked about some of the things. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, in Christ, out of Christ. Now we've talked about the creature. Next week, if you want to study about this, pray about it, think about it, we're going to talk about this latter part of that same scripture. Verse 17, 5th chapter, 2 Corinthians. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Therefore, all old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. So we're going to talk about that next week. Next week, if you want to study about that and think about that. I'm going to just pray right now. My richest blessings on you, on this church. And Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come together today in worship, we've sang songs to you, for you, through you. And Lord, as I praise and worship, we desire to worship you. We only get to meet one time a week, except for Bible study on Tuesday night. So, Father, I thank you for this time together. It's important to us. And, of course, I know and our church knows that you meet with us on Sunday morning. And I just thank you for that, and I appreciate you having your Holy Spirit in our presence here. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will continue to enlighten us. Teach us, give us wisdom, help us to walk and seek after you with our whole hearts, diligently. And Lord, I pray that you'll just open up our minds more and more as we study the Bible on Tuesday night and on Sunday night, and as we strive, Father, to exercise ourselves into godliness. I pray that you'll help us with that. Give us the strength to do that through your power. In the name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen. Okay, say hello to somebody here. Amen.